Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, because that's what we're supposed to be preaching, is the Kingdom of God is at hand. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel that Paul preached, for he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul also, speaking to the believers, the faithful, those who repented, turned around, and were doing something different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even many of the Romans were doing. They were doing something different. He began to explain to them some things that were difficult to understand. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, many of these mysteries had already been explained to the apostles like Peter and James and other apostles. We know this because Jesus was asked by them why he always spoke in parables to the general crowds and assemblies that came and followed him. But to them, he evidently was explaining the mysteries because his response was, "It is given to you to understand the mysteries, but not given unto them." The mysteries, the secrets, the behind-the-scenes working of the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. Now, in some of our shows, we talk about some of these mysteries that are of a spiritual, even metaphysical or quantum level. And these are very important, but you understanding them mentally in your head doesn't give you power over them. And this is what people like Simon the Magician was trying to obtain, is he had knowledge of certain spiritual laws and metaphysical laws, if you want to call them that, and he saw the apostles had this extra power, and he wanted it too. And he wanted to get it from them. Well, you can't get it that way. That's not the way it works. That's one of the spiritual laws, that you have to repent and seek the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit listeth where his will. That's where that power will go. And people always want proof, physical proof. But Jesus is not looking first for those who want the physical proof. He does give them physical proof, but at first he's looking for those who will believe in their hearts. Now, occasionally, he reverses that, and he does give somebody physical proof, but eventually they have to get around to the spiritual awakening. Now, if you just go to read the Bible to create another eschatology or theology or religion that you will believe in, and then you bow down and worship that religion, then you will guard these verses and repeat them, but you will be like zombies. You will be the walking dead, mimicking the verses one after another. You will not understand. You will not have the power to persevere because you will not really have the power of the Holy Spirit. You will have a power. You will have a power of a spirit. You might even be able to heal people occasionally. But when you look deeper at that healing, you will find something going on. There is a conflict between true Christians and modern Christians. And they don't see it. The modern Christians, they have their churches and their form of godliness, and they have the evidence of their spirituality posted up there. We heal these people. We change these people. But something doesn't change. One foot is left in the kingdoms of the world, in the ways of the world. Now, we all may be in bondage to the world. We may be again entangled in the bondage of the world, and there may not be very much that we can do about it, because we have made covenants with them and with their gods. Those of you who understand what I'm saying, we may have returned to the vomit of the dog and the mire of the pig, again become entangled in those elements of the world, those rudiments of the world. But if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you will probably not understand what Paul is talking about in Romans 3:19 when he says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." You may not understand what he says in Romans 6:14, "The sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the faithful. He's talking to those who have already repented. He is talking to those who have already received the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he went and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ first. That's what he says. But other people put other interpretations about this because they lack knowledge. They do not understand the context of the Bible. The context, they don't even know what a Jew was. They think these men over here are Jews, and they are actually them that say they are Jews, but are really the synagogue of Satan, the congregation of Satan, the congregation of the adversary, because they're doing something different than what Christ said to do. Christ said to do what John the Baptist said to do. Christ said to do what Moses said to do. Christ said to love your neighbor as yourself, to keep the commandments. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. Don't use force to obtain your daily bread. Don't pray to the fathers of the earth. Jesus said this. But in this series, and we're in the 15th session of this series now, Benny writes on Facebook, in the ages to come, there will come a time when Gentiles will be saved by doing works of righteousness, when people must bless Israel to be saved as they did in the past. What is Israel? Is it some UN protectorate over there in the Middle East? Is that Israel? Well, there's multi-millionaire prophets for profit that say that is Israel. But I look over there and I say, are you doing what Moses said? No, they are not doing what Moses said. Everything in their government is contrary to what Moses said, and they don't even see it. They have diverse weights and measures in their money. They have iron coin. They have interest-bearing notes in their system of monetary policy. They have heavy progressive income tax. They haven't returned every man to his family and every man to his possessions. They're running that government just like Babylon. Babylon with Nimrod, the mighty provider instead of the Lord. They have all the elements of the world, and they have entangled their people in them. They are not Moses' people. Therefore, they are not Israel. They are not following the ways of God. Oh, they have beliefs in religiosity, and they wear the robes, and they wear the clothes, and they say the prayers in Hebrew, but they don't really come to a knowledge of God, because God wants you to live by faith, hope, and charity, and loving one another, not forcing one another to provide, not drafting your sons. When David drafted the people, he recognized that he had sinned against God and man. But when Israel over there, or any other country, I don't want to pick on them poorly, but it's just because you put a label on them and say they're Israel because they have a sign that says Israel. They have paperwork that says Israel. But it's not a place where God prevails, because they're sinning against God every day because they draft everybody in their country. Every man, woman in their country is drafted. That was a sin for David. Isn't it a sin for them if they are under the laws of David? Yes. They are not functioning as God intended. Therefore, they are not a place where God prevails. They have achieved great things and accomplished great things, but they've also done some terrible things. But like any other country. Now, amongst all their populace, you will find people who might be of Israel, the place where God prevails. But they are a scattered flock, just as they are scattered in the United States or Canada. And that's why we created the Living Network, so that people who want to prevail under God by accepting God in their hearts to let God prevail in them may come together. Now, lots of people come to the Living Network at thelivingnetwork.org, and they join up the local groups, but they aren't really of the Spirit of the Father. That you will work out with fear and trembling amongst yourselves. We're just giving you the opportunity and speaking about the nature of the church established by Christ. You must conform to it. Not to us, not to me, but to what Christ said. That's why we have no doctrines in our church except for Christ's doctrines only. Now, we talk about a lot of things and teach a lot of things, but officially, our doctrines must be the doctrines of Christ, what he said. And Paul agreed with Jesus, but most people don't understand what Paul is saying because they take Paul out of the context. Gentiles are just nations. Israel is just a nation. And as we said in the previous shows, we showed that the church was Israel. Everyone who got the baptism of Jesus Christ was a part of the church, right? Well, everybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ was cast out of the welfare system operated through the temple by the Pharisees and had been set up by Herod. They were cast out of that because that was what they already proclaimed. In John, we see that where the parents know that this is so. They were opting out of one social welfare system based on force into a social welfare system based on love. And this was where they stopped making the Word of God in an effect and started making the Word of God as an effect in their lives. And until you do that, you don't have the power to opt out. You're entangled in the rudiments of the world. But you do have the power to turn around and start seeking the kingdom, start trying to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And it's a good time to start because the systems of the world will fail. The unrighteous mammon, these systems of entrusted wealth stored up for you in the treasuries of the world to guarantee your welfare and protect and save you in the time of calamity will fail and are failing and have failed already. You see, if you take the gospel out of the context of the times, you won't understand. He goes on and quotes Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And he thinks Israel is a land. It's a geographical location. Israel is a nation. He did go and show him a land. And then he says in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Absolutely. But where is this Israel? It's a nation. It's a people where God prevails. And those who got the baptism of Jesus Christ were the nation that God was raising up. They say, these are the ones that do contrary to the decrees of Caesar because they say there is another king, one Jesus. That's Israel. Those who said we have no king but Caesar were no longer Israel. They were just some country called Judea. They weren't the people of our Father. Now, those who bless my brethren, Jesus says, those are my family. Those who bless and feed and give water and clothing to my brethren, they are going to be blessed. They are going to be invited into the kingdom. So who is doing the will of Jesus and the Father? He who does the will of my Father is my brethren, he says. Is Israel over there doing the will of the Father? No. They're doing everything wrong, contrary to what Moses said. They're oppressing the people, drafting the people. They have them in an income tax system of statutory, you know, corvée system that is more burdensome than it was in the land of Egypt, where they only had to pay 20%. They pay far more in this new land under this new government. I'm fine with them doing that. I don't want to pick on them. Everybody else is doing it. You know, Canada's doing it. Venezuela's doing it. The United States is doing it. Mexico is doing it. They're all doing it. So it's no worse than all the others. But the fact that you think that that's the nation Abraham was starting, a nation based on faith, hope, and charity, building altars of free will offerings like Abraham and Moses and Jesus Christ did, except for they were actually living altars, both in the time of Abraham and Moses, as well as in the time of Jesus Christ. You are living stones. Always the way it was, from the beginning. This is the ones that are Israel, because it's in these people where we will find God prevailing in their hearts and in their minds. The kingdom of heaven will be within those people who live by faith. So as people form congregations of record, or what we call core congregations of recorded elders, where we recognize that this is an elder of a congregation, the congregation is simply a free assembly. Everything freely given, freely received. But that we call it core, congregation of recorded elders. And the minister records them. I recognize this person as an elder. How can he keep doing that if that elder never contributes? He contributes the first day and never contributes afterwards. He must create an ongoing relationship of contributions. Now, what are those for? So that we can build big crystal cathedrals, so that we can drive around in big fancy cars? No, so that we may tend to the daily ministration. And if a congregation does not do that, then it's just a congregation in name only. It's a fake. It's a fraud. And the early church had to meet those provisions of daily bread and the daily ministration to the needy of their society, because they were cast out of the social welfare systems of the world. Many of the people that come together in congregations at first amongst us still were in the world, or they didn't need the benefits of the world. And we're not telling you to dishonor the unrighteous mammon. You may still owe, but if there comes a day when they allow you to opt out, we want a more righteous habitation prepared for you. And this is what Christ was doing for years. This is what John the Baptist was doing, preparing so that in one day, thousands were baptized into this new system based on love. And then that spiritual power not only ascended upon the apostles, but throughout the congregations of the people. And why Pentecost? Because Pentecost is where the congregations made a record of who was with what congregation. Because they came together, and ministers who had connected with local congregations now connected with each other. And they formed the tens, hundreds, and thousands you see throughout Europe and Asia for centuries to come. And this was Israel, a nation, a people. No more Greek, no more Jew, no more Corinthian or Ephesian, but one in Christ, one king, one people, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But they really had to do that and be that. And those that blessed them were blessed. That was Israel. Now, it's really popular amongst the modern Christendom to say that Israel's over there in a geographical location. It doesn't matter what they do, they're Israel because they're bloodline. But Jesus said it's not bloodline. Those who doeth the will of the Father are my brethren. That's what Jesus said. Now, you're going to preach Jesus, or you're going to make up your own thing? Well, these prophets for profit, they make up their own thing. And we're going to have a whole show, or several shows, whole series on false prophets and what the mark of the beast really is, and how you've been deceived, not only in the basic spiritual and virtuous elements of God's kingdom, but in all the other elements of that kingdom. Benny also wrote, in the future, he says that this will happen. No, it's happening right now. It happened even back then. Those who blessed the apostles were blessed. Those who blessed the early Christians and protected them were blessed in the spiritual realm, and it often manifested itself in the physical realm. In Matthew 25:31, we read, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. It really has already happened, but it will happen again in another layer, in another way. This is a process. Now the question is Christ sitting in the throne of your own hearts? Are you doing the will of the Father? Well, modern Christians say, oh, you don't have to do the will, you just have to believe. Because they take Paul out of the context of being a minister to real believers who had repented and were striving and seeking to do the will of the Father by caring for one another by faith, hope, and charity. You don't think that's going to change people? The next verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That division, in some ways, has already begun. You have to realize that you're being, we have a whole series on the goats and the sheep. What's the difference? I've raised both. I know the difference between goats and sheep. Do you know the difference between goats and sheep? There's quite a difference. It is the difference between modern Christians and real Christians. And even amongst many of the modern Christians, there are real Christians wanting to be born again in the ways of the Father, not simply in their imagination. And they will come together as the Spirit leads them. Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat." So you think now if you send money to Israel over there that that will count? Even though they're doing everything contrary to what Moses said in the running of their government? They're not running it like Moses said to run it. Not in any way, shape, or form. They're running it exactly the way Nimrod ran his government. Yeah, you were naked and you clothed me. So who's he talking about? He's talking about those thousands of Jews who accepted Jesus and said there was another king, one Jesus, and lived by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, no longer applied for the free bread of Rome or Ephesus or Corinth, but gathered every week, and those that had shared with those that didn't have. These were called believers, and these are who Paul was speaking to. He was not speaking to those who said, oh, we just believe, but we're just going to go along as business as usual. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying," righteous? He's talking about virtue, because they're helping who? The unvirtuous? Who have some claim to bloodline? No, they're the righteous because they're helping the righteous, because the nation of Israel is composed of the righteous, those who are prevailing in God's way, in a way of faith, hope, and charity, giving of themselves daily, that all amongst them shall be able to persevere. So he quotes all this, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or when we saw when did we see thee sick or in prison or give you food? He's asking all this. The king says, when you did this to what? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Who is the brethren of Jesus Christ? He who does the will of my Father is my brethren. That's what he said. Who is doing the will of the Father? You see, you don't know who Israel is. So when Benny wrote, you know the rest of the passage, the one that did not give Christ's brethren, Israel, the things they needed are cast into everlasting punishment. Who is Israel? Where is Paris? Texas or France? There's one in each. Which one is the real Paris? But the problem is, Paris is a place. Israel is a nation of people. Right now, they're a scattered flock, dry bones on the desert. So he's right about what he says, but he's misidentifying the brethren. He thinks it's some country over in the Middle East that calls themselves Israel. That's not Israel. Not the Israel they're talking about. That's not the brethren. I'm sure there are brethren of Christ amongst their population, in their population, but not of their ways. You see, if you have these prophets for profit, they won't tell you the truth. They'll mislead you. You should know that they're misleading you. Jesus was rich and made himself poor. These prophets for profit are poor and make themselves rich on your delusions. Benny also wrote, the Gentiles who bless Israel, yes, which Israel, will be saved, and those who don't will be lost. So we're supposed to send money to a military dictatorship or democracy or whatever it is over there. I don't know what it is. I guess it's sort of a parliamentary government, and it is. I believe they have elected officials, and it's a democracy. But a democracy, heaven's not a democracy. Heaven is a place of righteousness. You know, Israel isn't any more wicked than any other country, but it isn't any better than any other country. Israel, the UN member, Israel, over there. That's another thing. How could Israel be a member of the United Nations? Because that involves treaties. Israel was told to make no treaties, no leagues with anybody else. And those guys did. I can't be Israel. You see, he thinks Israel's a bloodline or a democratic government that is a member of the UN. Israel is the brethren, and that's what it says, Christ's brethren. He says that's Israel, the nation over there. I say the brethren of Christ is Israel. But the way you know they're Israel is they're doing the will of the Father. That's how you know they're Israel. Not because somebody put a label on their jacket that says Israel. It's insane. It's insane that people think this. But anyway, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom. Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Also talking about some other things that Benny wrote. He wrote, the Gentiles who bless Israel will be saved and those who don't will be lost. This is insane. This is crazy. Modern Christendom coming from these prophets for profit, that they lead people away to make them think that because there's this government over there called Israel that has something to do with being the brethren of Christ. The brethren of Christ, by Christ's own words, are those who do the will of the Father. Show me those who are doing the will of the Father, and I will show you Israel, a nation of people. Well, right now, it's hard to find. I was just out just before I came in and did this recording. We couldn't find the sheep anywhere. We knew they were out in the field, and it's a big, huge, big field, and there's rolling hills, and there's sagebrush, and there's lots of places to hide, but my daughter, who watches over the field, she says, I can't see them. I got distracted by the kids. I couldn't see them. So I went running out there, and I checked down the road where they sometimes will cross because the gate's open. They could leave if they wanted to, but who wants to leave the kingdom of heaven? And they didn't leave. No sign that they came out. And so I went up the road, and then I looked down in the field, and I closed that waterhead gate, and then I went back up on the hill up above the gravel pit, and I looked way out across the field. My eyes aren't what they used to be, and I could not spot them. So I headed back down the road, and I was just about ready to go out the gate, and here I see them coming. About a half a mile away, they're coming out of this thick, thick brush in what we call the sweet clover field. There's no sweet clover there. It's the middle of the winter when I'm doing this today, but that's where they were coming from. Is the sweet clover field in the brush and everything, and now they were coming out where you could spot them because they were hidden. They were there, but you couldn't see them because they were kind of spread out in this thick, thick brush. And that's where Israel is today, in the thick, thick brush of the world. And you can't see them. They're hard to find. But how will you find them? Because somebody puts a label on their jacket, you know, in a Star of David and says Jew or Israel or whatever? Or will you know them by their fruits, by what they're doing? Are they living by faith, hope, and charity? Are they loving one another, like Moses said? Have they created altars of free will offerings to care for the ministration of the needy of their society? That's Israel. That's actually what the church is, too, because the church and Israel are one. They are a nation of people who live according to the will of the Father. and have not sought to go under the fathers of the earth to obtain their benefits, to pray to them. And if they are under those fathers, they still will gather weekly and take care of their social welfare needs, their health, their education, their welfare. That is Israel. You want to go there? This is what we're doing. We're trying to help you go there. Who will sacrifice, lay down their life to go there? Who will pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the kingdom of God and be the ministers of true faith? Who will do that? Not this fellow. He will go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over another, and he'll send money off to Israel now and then and think that he'll be saved because he sent it off to some nation on the other side of the ocean, because he's under a strong delusion. Benny wrote, "The Gentiles that are saved will not understand what they have done. When did we do these things?" Absolutely. You know, and I've explained this over and over again in articles, but he doesn't see that because he's under the delusion of the prophets of profit. Benny wrote that that is written for the body of Christ, learning and admonition, but it is not written directly to us. Oh, now he's second-guessing poor Paul. Benny wrote Paul, also, Paul, under direct revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, writes this directly to us in Titus. Actually, he's not writing it directly to him. He's writing it directly to believers who have repented and turned away from the ways of the world and to the ways of Christ and are now his brethren because they're doing the will of the Father. It isn't written to him, because he's not one of those. He's one of those who think they are saved, but are not really saved, because they haven't really repented. They're still over there feeding the pigs in the pigmires of other nations. And even, evidently, pigs in other nations he's feeding. But anyway, Titus 3, 4, 5, he says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Well, if the Holy Ghost is really renewed in you, you will not be coveting the neighbor's goods. When they offer you benefits, you will say, "I have no right to these. Why would I want these benefits? Besides, your system is bankrupt. You can only give me what you have taken away from others. I do not want that. What I have paid in, I paid in to take care of the needy of my society when I was working. Now, I will depend only on faith, hope, and charity, and not on the fathers of the earth or the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. I will trust in the Lord, that the Lord will save me and protect me as I also seek to do his will." And he will. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying, "I paid in. I got a right to take this from my sons and my grandsons and my neighbor's grandsons." That's what they're saying. Because they know not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They think Titus 3 verses 4 and 5, they're talking to them. They're talking to them. If they were talking to them, they'd say, "Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity." That's when he's talking to them. Benny wrote, "Which is it? Are we to do works of righteousness for our salvation, or are we saved by not doing works of righteousness?" Does he hear what he said? We are saved by not doing works of righteousness? That's ridiculous. "I am not going to do works of righteousness because I am saved because of mercy." What is that? That's crazy. All he is saying, very simply, is that we can't earn salvation. We should do works of righteousness. We should do all kinds of works. We should strive daily, because Christ said strive. We should persevere, because we were told to persevere. But we're not going to be able to do enough. We're going to be saved by grace. But we are certainly not saved by, this is not our choice. Are we saved by works of righteousness or by not doing works of righteousness? It's a Freudian slip. But anyway, Benny is under the power of the prophets of profit. Anyway, he goes on to say, "These instructions are written to two different groups of people, Israel is a literal physical nation, which it is a physical, but it's not a physical location. And if you go back and look at the promise of Abraham, it was wherever his feet were to go. Wherever his feet and the feet of the faithful were to go, because the physical nation is the nation of the faithful. And the faithful are those who are doing the will of the Father, not those who want to do contrary to the will of the Father and claim to be his church. That are those that are say they are his church, but are really the synagogue of Satan. The body of Christ is a spiritual body. He does say it. There you go. The body of Christ is a spiritual body. Where do you find spiritual bodies? In physical bodies. The church and Israel are one. Everyone who accepted Jesus Christ was Israel. They were actually physically citizens of Judea when they were accepting the king of Judea as their king by accepting his baptism instead of the baptism of Herod. You see, once you understand the history, you say, oh my gosh, these guys were opting out of that system and opting into a system that operated with free will offerings, which is why James is talking about the perfect law of liberty. Wow. Wow, so simple. All these people were now living by faith, not by force. Wow, just like John the Baptist was saying. And just like Jesus, who came after John and said the same thing. Benny wrote, in times past, faith and works were required for salvation, as they will in the future ages to come. But now works will not save us. All the works and everything needed for salvation has been done, except you have to repent. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. Now, if you forgive, have you earned salvation? No. But now you have access to salvation. If you repent, can you earn salvation? No. But unless you repent, you don't have access, which is why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you might be saved. Not because his Son didn't do his part, but because you might not do your part, which is repent and return to the Father, the whole point of the prodigal son. He didn't do any works, and he was forgiven. But he did turn around. He did leave the pig mire. And he did return to his father's house with the intent of serving. And we can only imagine that when he got there, he did serve. But before he got there, he was forgiven. This fella is telling you, you don't have to repent. You don't have to turn around. You don't have to leave the pig mire. You can stay right where you are. You don't have to go back to your father's house with the intention of being a servant. And God will forgive you because you say the magic words. Absurd. Absolutely absurd. Romans 11:5. Even so, then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Absolutely. According to the election of grace, a remnant. In other words, if you don't understand what I'm talking about at all, you listen to a couple dozen of these recordings and you still don't get it. You think, I think the guy's crazy. Well, guess what? Evidently, you didn't get the election of grace. You're not getting it. Because you're not going to get it by studying me. You're going to get it by listening to God in your heart and your mind. This is the covenant. You know, when they said they had no king but Caesar, they broke the covenant. They're out. All those guys and all their descendants are out. But those who return to the ways of the Father, they're in. But they have to return in spirit and in truth. And I don't believe they can do that without the election of grace, because the delusion is so strong. These prophets of profit, they have really got these people and have sucked in their brains so that they no longer think. And their conversations are full of unjust, unrighteous behavior. And they need to repent. Romans 11:6, which is the following verse. And if by grace, then it is no more by works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be by works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. What a lawyer. The point is not that you don't have to do works. That Paul tells you over and over again to do works. And to have nothing to do with those that are doing contrary to works. You know, unvirtuous behavior. So, Benny focuses on no more of works. It never was of works. You could go and try to keep the law all you want under Moses, And if you did not have the spirit of righteousness dwelling in you, you would not succeed. Your works will go awry. You will cheat or rob or steal or defraud somebody because the spirit of righteousness is not in you. You will be given over to a reprobate mind and unrighteous lust. Always the way it was. There was never somebody there with a tally board going, oh, he did this. Well, he gets 10 points for that. It's like the comedian, you pay for our sins, and that's what happens when you die. He gives you all this money, and you have to pay for your sins. You commit this sin, oh, that's like $10. This spit sin is like $20. And he goes on, it's a comedian. No, it's never been that. It has to do with the righteous heart. That's what God wanted to do at Sinai, is write his laws upon their hearts and upon their minds. He gave them the law so that, and Paul goes on and on about this, he gave them the law so that they would know when their heart was not in the right place and where God's heart was not in yours. Because you were doing all these things, you will do wrong if you do not let God in. You will be subject to the world and the flesh and the devil, and you will be tempted and you will be found wanting. Because you cannot do righteousness of your own power. Never have been able to. This is all part of this guy's delusion. Benny writes, James writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad in the book of James. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. So anyway, he's talking to the 12 tribes. Yeah, where are they exactly? And who is there? They're mixed into every race there is now. They're all over the place. Nobody knows where all those tribes went. And there's a lot of evidence as to where they went. You know, the Jutes and the Issachs and the Issachs' sons. And you can become a, you know, if you get too enmeshed in all that, next thing you know, you'll be a Christian identity. And then you'll be two steps behind the first white supremacist that comes along. That isn't the answer. His brethren are the, you know, Israel was always grafting in people. Always grafting in people. And Israel still grafts in people, but not by blood, but by faith. Faith in what? In the ways of righteousness. He who does this, the will of my Father is my brethren. That's the way it works. I'm sorry. The rest of the stuff, you're just making it up. Many wrote, Paul writes, Romans 4:4, and he goes on to verse 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You know, this whole conversation in Romans is between these guys who are trying to impose the rituals that they had gotten from the Pharisees onto the Romans. And Paul was addressing that, making the distinction. But if you take all of Paul, he says there is no more Jew, there is no more Roman, there is no more Greek. There is those who are the brethren, the believers, who are doing righteously, living righteously, had turned away from the unrighteous way, and are now doing the righteous way. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Worketh not does not mean do nothing. It means not following those rules that the Jews were trying to impose upon the Romans. And not all the Jews were trying to do this. There was an element amongst the Jews that had done this for so many years that they had thought this was, we have to do this. And he's giving them the mysteries that are hard to understand, saying, no, what you think you have to do, you think you have to do because men who were prophets of prophet told you had to do them. And it deceived you and got you entangled in the elements of Herod and the Pharisees. And that is not really what you want to be doing. You don't want to be dealing with that. You know, that word that we see, worketh, it's also translated minister and forbearer. Actually, forbearer, it's with another word also, but laborer. It's even translated trade. It's a very general term. Is you're not going to trade your salvation for following rituals, including the ritual that Benny has. He has a ritual. You have to send money to Israel. Of course, he probably doesn't actually mail him a check. He probably votes in a democracy to try to get the democracy to support Israel, because then we'll all be saved, and he doesn't have to actually take any money out of his own pocket. That's coming out anyway, because he is entangled in the elements of the world, and he is in the bondage of Egypt again, and because he has strayed from the ways of Christ and the ways of the Father, and therefore he is not the brethren of Christ, therefore he is not Israel, therefore he is not saved. Now, do you have to come out of the system of the world to be saved? No. You have to get the system of the world out of your own heart. That means that you have to learn to take care of one another by faith, hope, and charity. And you can start very small, but that's where you have to be. Benny also writes, in times past, salvation was performance based on persons who saved by faith and works. God required Israel to do something and then he would bless them. But if they didn't do what he required, he would curse them. Same thing. You're not a believer because you say you are. You're a believer because Christ says you are. And Christ says you're a believer because you have repented and you're doing the will of the Father. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you forgive, are you automatically forgiven? No, that would be by works. But by your deeds, you bar yourself from the salvation of Christ. Because you have turned away from Christ, you are not the brethren of Christ because you are not doing the will of the Father. Still has nothing to do with earning salvation, and that's a complete red herring, taken out of context so that Benny can keep doing what he's been doing and imagining what he's been imagining. And it's just not the case. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Could they do it? No. Why? Because God was not written in their hearts and in their minds. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Okay, now Benny writes, works and obedience were required, of course, would come upon the nation of Israel. The body of Christ is not under the law for blessing by performance and cursed if the members of the body fail to perform. That is a satanic gospel. That is Satan saying, you can do whatever you want and surely you will not die. And Benny has accepted the gospel of Satan. He is not the synagogue of Christ, the body of Christ. He is the body of Satan. Now, I like the guy. I wish the guy all well. I hope he repents. He has a little bit of time. But he is cursing himself because he believes in an eschatology, not in Christ. He imagines he believes in Christ because he is a worshiper of the graven image of Christ he has created in his mind with the help of the prophets of prophet. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. What are they talking about? The law. Well, in Galatians, you have to look at who he's talking to. But the reality is that when he nailed the handwritten ordinances to the cross, he was talking about the handwritten ordinances of the Sanhedrin, who said they had no king but Caesar. Those who chose Christ as their king were not subject to those ordinances. They didn't have to pay in to those systems. They were allowed, because they were cast out of that system, they didn't have to pay into it anymore. They couldn't get the benefits, but they didn't owe the money. And so now they needed a system of social welfare, and on Pentecost, they began to create that. And by Acts 6, they saw they were still neglecting the daily ministration, even though the apostles were going from house to house, rightly dividing the bread that they had to share with the needy. There were still people being neglected, and they needed to put men over this business. And the because it wasn't right that they wait on tables. What tables? The word tables there is the same word translated into banks. They weren't to start banks. They had to move massive amounts of funds in the time of hard times. How did they do that? They did it through these seven men they chose. And still to this day, such institutions exist. And we need to breathe life into those institutions, the life of Christ, so that they understand how far they need to take this. And we know how to do this. But we need you to start gathering together. The bones are scattered. The flock is lost in the shrubbery of the world. And Benny is one of those who are lost in the shrubbery of the pastors of profit. Benny wrote, Jesus took all our sins upon himself, and the cup of wrath was poured upon him. He did everything for us to be saved. The body of Christ is the new man, not a cursed nation. That's right. But he's not a part of the body of Christ. Benny isn't. You see, because Benny hasn't repented. Christ did all this that you might be saved. He's imagining that he is saved because he's thought a thought. He doesn't have to repent. He doesn't have to forgive. He doesn't have to do anything. He just thinks a thought. He says Jesus Christ was the Christ. Well, the devil knows that. But the devil also knows that if I keep them from doing what Christ said, they'll never become the brethren of Christ. I've got them out there helping Israel instead of helping the brethren, because I've got them misidentifying Israel, even though Jesus said the brethren are those who do the will of the Father. I mean, it's just illogical, much less wrong. I mean, it's just obvious. But if you're going to pick and choose and say, oh, we're not going to listen to when Jesus said the brethren are those who do the will of the Father, we don't have to listen to that. We're going to imagine that Israel, the UN member nation, that's the brethren. We're going to imagine that. And then we're going to base our whole eschatology on that. It's foolishness. Benny wrote, Jesus took all our sins upon himself. No, no, no. He died that you might be saved. You have to repent. Dividing the word and knowing the apostles that we are to follow today is critical. That is right, knowing the word of the truth and knowing who the apostles that we are, but you aren't, because you aren't doing what the apostles did. But I understand that you've been deceived by false prophets, but it's time to repent. Benny wrote, the body is not to follow the instructions given to the 12, but rather the instructions given to the very humble chief of sinners, the apostle Paul. They are not separate instructions. Paul preached Christ's instructions first. Those he called brethren and believers were already following those instructions. When you say he was talking to you, that's only true if you're following those instructions. Write it down. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's right. He preached Christ first. He was following. They were following. You're not. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Okay, well, that's really out of context there. We could go into that. We're not going to have enough time. But anyway, we might do one more 16th session to cover this, because it's really important that you get this, folks. If you don't know who Paul's talking to, if you don't know what they're doing, you don't know what was happening. So until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.